advancing pleasure.
This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in Central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. A Monday is upon us, post-Masters, and I don't know what there is to look forward to unless you're really into the spring game as far as the sporting world. I'm going to throw that out. Top of the show today, Daddy, just about finished with vacation. I'm beginning to wonder, is it vacation or is it contract negotiation? Because I think he's holding out. And maybe he's on his way to Cleveland with Manny. I don't know. But glad to have you along with us. We're going to talk to UNK football coach Daryl Morris here in just a little bit. Get an update on spring ball. Grand Island Senior High has a new basketball coach, Jeff Hofelt. We'll tell you more about him and talk with the coach tomorrow on the show. But the Masters is over. NCAA basketball is over. The women's bowling season is over, and we have a national title. And we'll get to that because we have heard from the daddy on that issue. And all it's, you know, spring ball's going on. First week of major league season is over. The Masters is over. There's going to be a good week of shows. I mean, don't get me wrong here, but as far as anticipation of a lot of things, I mean, Nebraska baseball is struggling and now they go take on the team that's supposed to win the conference, Rob Childress and A&M. It doesn't look like it's going to be a bright, bright future, but a lot of good things happened over the weekend. I don't know who feels worse this morning, Kenny Perry or the Miami of Ohio hockey team after blowing a two-goal lead with a minute to go in the national championship. So we'll touch on all of that coming up on the Doug and Daddy Show today. If you would like to get in and fire off an email to the Dent Popper inbox, it's Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. The phone number is 1-888-455-ESPN. And we welcome to the program the man, I think he's an Ian Poulter fan, and I you know, I don't know why, but Daryl Morris, head football coach at UNK. Good morning, coach.
Hey, morning, guys.
How's it going?
I'm doing well, and yourself?
I'm
Hey, that Dent Popper thing, is that for Big Daddy's butt or what?
They're even scared to give a free estimate on that, so.
I don't blame them.
What's going
Shop
on?
Shop ain't that big.
Well, you know, taking shots at Daddy when he's not here, I love that. That's good stuff. But he's getting his butt tanned, so I'll make sure he runs by practice and shows you.
Oh, heck no.
Coach, it seems like practice has been going on for a month, but it really hasn't. You guys are about halfway through right now.
Yeah, we finished practice 8, I think, on Saturday. So we started a week late, just let the weather clear up a little bit, but we've had some good days of work, and things are progressing well. I'm pleased with where we are right now.
You're not worried because you started late, you're not worried about trying to cram too much into fewer days?
No, I mean, when you start your clock, it's the first day you practice, you got 29 calendar days to get her done, 15 practices available to you. Now, there is a new rule in the NCAA, and we're not allowed to have any meetings or practice or weightlifting a week prior to the start of finals week. So the 27th is actually the last day that we would be legally be able to have practice, but weather looks like we'll be able to get it done by the 25th, so we'll be good.
Well, so you're about halfway through.
Right.
Your overall thoughts right now?
Well, not having lost a senior on offense, I expected our offense to come in and be pretty far along in their development and understanding of what we're doing. We've got a problem at UNK right now, and that is we've got three pretty good running backs on our football team, and that's a good problem to have. So we're tinkering with a couple of different ways to get those kids on the field, so a little bit more two-back stuff than maybe what we've done in the past and some things like that. But I think the offense is looking pretty efficient. And I think the defense is coming around, and we're just trying to get some younger guys some looks to see what they're going to be able to be.
Daryl Morris, head football coach at UNK, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, what was your philosophy going into spring ball with what you had coming back? Obviously, there's probably three or four different ways you look at a team and go, well, we're young or we're experienced or we're lacking here. What was your philosophy going in?
Well, our philosophy, I think, will always be to see if we can't get some younger kids in our program some developmental time and give them as many full speed reps as we're allowed to do that, and give them as much opportunity to begin to develop a better understanding of what their job entails. And always you're trying to cultivate the team thing, and we're always trying to look for leadership in the spring and leadership for the next fall. And that's something that we're still talking to our football team about right now. We've got to designate and find some kids that are going to be our captains for next fall.
Are you close to that yet?
I think so, yeah. I think we've talked about it on numerous occasions, and I think the kids probably have some ideas as to who they're going to try to get elected to those positions, and we'll do that towards the middle of next week.
UNK football coach Darrell Morris joins us. Well, let's not overlook what you did say about the running back situation, to utilize all their talents. And I guess last year you needed to use all those running backs, but now that they've all had a taste of the field, how do you approach this? Are you looking at maybe tinkering and moving these guys to a different position?
Well, no, they'll all still be at the tailback position, but we might have two of them in a ball game rather than just a one-back set. We might also, I think Brendan Lease is smart enough player and athletic enough to play some wide receiver spots for us, bring him back in motion, maybe run an option with him being the option back, so I think there's a lot of different things that we can do with them. Rusty Dring had a really nice run in a scrimmage the other day and looks very sharp, and he's gotten bigger since last fall. Roddy Newcomer is a completely different kind of back than Brendan and Rusty in terms that he's a little bit of a bruiser and a little bit of a banger. So I think there's a niche for all three of them, and then a couple of them are probably going to also show up lining up outside the box and maybe either running pass routes from outside the box or bringing them back into the box through motion and doing some things with them in that respect.
When you've got a stable of quarterbacks and a stable of running backs, does that mean everybody gets a pretty good share of reps here when they're working out together?
Well, I think so, yeah. I mean, we're trying to get looks and give everybody an opportunity to show us they can get the job done. And as we found out last year, we had a stable of running backs, and we ended up with Riley Newcomer being our third-string tailback at that time, finishing the season for us. Did a great job, but you need to get more than one guy ready at every position, so that means you do got to share some time during spring ball.
Let's take a look at where the defense has come along. Coach Crocker working with some of the new guys over there. What are you seeing as you look over, and what's he telling you?
Well, I think we're just still trying to find our way a little bit in terms of our defense. Rashard King looks pretty good at a Mike linebacker, and he's a young man that we got out of, was a redshirt for us last fall. Justin Swedberg suffered a knee injury very early in spring, so his development's going to be a little bit behind schedule. Josh Rohde is, at nose, looks very good. We got a young man by the name of Caleb Tyler, who looks very, very good. He's got a little bit of a hamstring pull right now, but Mason Brodeen looks good. Ethan Coleman is another young defensive linebacker that we got out of Kansas last fall and redshirted him. So I think we've got some kids that, Jake Mandelko is doing an internship right now, not at practice. So Ozzie Smith is a part-time student trying to work on his clock to keep himself eligible in terms of that rule. So we've got some guys that are not at practice that are going to be here in the fall, and I think that'll make us even look better defensively, along with some of these young kids that are starting to figure things out.
UNK football coach Darrell Morris with us. Are you saying the offense probably right now a little ahead of the defense?
I would say so, yeah. I mean, we didn't lose anybody, and they lost five guys. So there's five kids on defense right now that were not starting for us last year. So those kids are a little bit behind some of the older guys and more experienced guys on offense, right?
You touched on some of the injuries. Has that been a problem already?
No. Orion Matthews is rehabbing his knee injury from last fall, so we knew Orion wasn't going to be at practice. Kyle Davison, our left tackle, did sprain an ankle in a drill and hasn't practiced a bunch in the last three or four practices. So we're getting a kid like Andy Kearns, who's a backup tackle for us, is getting a ton of reps right now, and it really is starting to show in his play. He's starting to come around, and I'm starting to get excited about what he might be able to do for us next fall as a fill-in guy.
might be early, but you did touch on some new guys have done some good things. And, of course, for the fans out there, I mean, your recruiting class is still playing high school and going through their high school. So when you talk about new guys, what are you talking about here?
Well, I'm talking about the new kids that were redshirt freshmen for us last year that we redshirted, like Ethan Kuhlman and Rashard King and, some of those young guys that we have on the defensive, Brayton Meyer and Pat Kramer in the secondary. So I think there's some kids that will show up for us. Lance Shiflett out of Cambridge is looking very good at our quick position. So I think there's some young kids that we redshirted last year that are going to be playing not only on defense for us next fall, but also a ton of special team business for us. So, it'll be their second year in our program next fall, and they're getting bigger and stronger. And this spring is a true developmental evaluation period for us. So they get a lot of looks, a lot of coaching, and they're starting to respond to that.
How's the I Want to Replace Jeff Carnahan reality show coming?
Well, it should be a reality show because we've got a couple that are wanting to date me, and I'm not really sure that we're going to have a date. So, we're just going to have to wait and see how it all turns out. I do have a price, you know.
That sounds a little scary. Did everybody get into camp that you are expecting at that position?
We've got two high school kids, a young man out of Florida, Jake Lavelle. I'm out of California, and we got a young man coming out of Shatter, Nebraska, and I think those two kids are going to be in the thick of things when we get into fall camp as place kickers. We do have the super state punter coming out of North Platte. So if a guy had to, he might have to go with him as a punter.
Coach, before we let you get out of here, as you look and move on and talk about some of these new kids and all that you want to do, now you're halfway through, I assume, as a coaching staff, you're hoping everybody's got the fundamentals worked out. Is that the case?
Well, I think fundamentals is something you're always going to be emphasizing, so we're going to continue to work on the fundamentals. But obviously we continue to implement and add different defensive schemes and blitzes, as well as we continue to put in different things that we want to try to take a look at offensively. So we still need every practice that we have. It's a good thing we're not playing a game next week, but there is promise and there is some talent on our football team, and I'm excited about next fall. I think we should be a very competitive football team.
Everybody, recruiting-wise, you have a full team now? For what, or are there still a chance that we're going to see more kids?
We made an offer to a wide receiver over the weekend, and we're waiting to hear from him today. As a young man out of Garden City, Kansas, and Garden City Junior College, and by way of Texas Tech, so he's got some ability, and we're waiting to hear what he's going to do sometime today, hopefully. And we have another young man that's going to be that actually played junior college basketball that's looking to get into football, a wide receiver spot that was offered by Wyoming out of high school. So we're still dealing on a couple guys in a couple of areas that we feel like we need some support and a little bit of depth.
Well, Coach, stay healthy. We appreciate, as always, the time on the Doug and Daddy Show, and hopefully we can catch up with you when spring wraps up.
Hey, look forward to it.
All right, take care.
You bet.
UNK football coach Daryl Moore is joining us to start the Doug and Daddy Show. You know, you try to stay healthy and you try to develop, and I think we learned a couple of things out of there. They're opening at least a couple. They're opening things up in the running back situation. This is a team that, if they listed a fullback on their starting rotation or their starting lineup, he might have played one play. I mean, they don't go fullback. But if they're going to go twins, or they're going to go with an ace, or they're going to go something there to try and use newcomer and use Dring and use Lease as their running back, then they're going to have to use their talent. They're going to have to spread a little bit more. And, again, you're looking at a young quarterback, and you're looking at some new wide receivers out there. This is an offense that's used to throwing the ball. We may see them try to implement the run or maybe a little bit of the short screen pass more often. They're going to be relying, it looks like, maybe on a true freshman place kicker. And when you're talking about the RMAC coming together as a more competitive conference, I think it's also stronger because of that, but you're seeing more close games. You're seeing how much Jeff Carnahan did for this team, how much the kicking has been even before Carnahan, with some of the exchange students, some of the German kickers that the team has had over the last decade, that they have always been pretty solid in that spot. That is going to be, and you can chuckle a little bit if you want, but I think as more folks really study the game now, special teams, you don't chuckle at it. Kicking, you don't chuckle at it. Ask Alex Henry, you don't chuckle at it. They win you ball games. They could lose you ball games, but they can win you directly win you ball games, and that's going to be a little bit of concern that they're going to have to get somebody in here with raw talent to help them out at the D2 level right away this fall. So we thank Coach Morris for joining us. Of course, the spring game is coming up this week. We are going to give you a chance to win tickets to the Nebraska spring game. And speaking of that, they sent us a note this weekend. It looks like Larry the Cable Guy is almost sold out of the 50,000 tickets. Now, that shocks me. It doesn't shock me that they're going to sell that out. It shocks me that they're going to do it in a week. That means almost every season ticket holder and then the general fans just wildfire right through that 50,000.
Yeah, very affordable tickets, though.
You got yours?
He's got them nice and cheap. No, no, I won't be going to that show.
As a German, you hate Americans, right?
Oh, no, absolutely not. Nothing against old Larry.
Are
but
you
I
even
just,
a citizen here?
Yes, I am, as a matter of fact. I am a Nebraska resident, as a matter of fact.
I thought that had to be on your resume or on your application to even be applied here. I thought I'm working with a German, and then Daddy's going to be a Mexican by the time he gets back from Cabo.
Wow.
I think he's probably already established, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah, I'd imagine so.
We have heard from the daddy, by the way, gone for over a week. He found it must be like Survivor. They have given him an email, and we will hear from the daddy coming up in just a moment because he's all jacked up about his favorite sport. We're going to talk about the Masters. We're going to talk about some of the other sports over the weekend. We're going to talk about a Royals win in which, as we said with Steve Stewart, the perfect combination would be a good pitching performance by Jabba Chamberlain, a no decision by Jabba Chamberlain, and a Royals win. That's exactly what happened yesterday. We'll talk about that, a great catch in the Cubs game, and all a lot more after this.
The answer, 644. The question.
How many complaint letters have we gotten on the Doug and Daddy show in the last month?
Sam takes pride in lowering his energy bills, regardless of what it takes to lower them.
Excuse me, sweetheart.
I was watching that.
But now, Trane can help fiscally minded people like Sam.
Sam!
Because upgrading your central air system to a high-efficiency Trane model can potentially save up to 59% on your energy bills.
Oh, sorry, son.
Let's power back up, Sam. Then let's find you a Trane dealer.
Upgrade your current central air system with a high-efficiency Trane model at Fidelki Heating and Air in Kearney.
It's hard to stop a train.
If you like auctions because you like to save big money, don't miss Kearney Yamaha's 24th Annual Inventory Reduction Auction this Sunday. The auction starts at 10 a.m. sharp and will feature over 85 three-wheelers, four-wheelers, motorcycles, and personal watercraft.
This is Craig Stokerbrand at Kearney Yamaha. If you've been to one of our auctions, you already know how much money you can save. Some items sell for as much as $2,000 under regular market prices. Don't miss out on this one-time-a-year opportunity to buy three-wheelers, four-wheelers, motorcycles, and personal watercraft at unbelievably low prices.
You can also bid on thousands of dollars worth of new and used parts and accessories. This year, Kearney Yamaha will also have all of their apparel marked down to incredibly low prices. You can buy t-shirts for as little as $5 and save hundreds of dollars on leather coats and chaps. This money-saving opportunity only happens once a year. Don't miss Kearney Yamaha's annual inventory reduction auction this Sunday, April 19th at 10 a.m. sharp in the Kearney Yamaha parking lot.
Here's a story big business didn't want you to know. It's about the ViewCube satellite receiver, compatible with DirecTV or the Dish Network. Manufacturers love it when truck stops sell it for $1,299 or more. But here's the part they don't want you to hear. Rich & Sons Camper Sales of Grand Island sells it for only $699. Anything less and, you don't want to know what might happen. The ViewCube takes portable satellite viewing to the next level. See Rich & Sons soon for the ViewCube. Go to ESPNSuperstation.com, click on the Rich & Sons ad to see the ViewCube. At $699, they won't last long. Surveying the crops on an ATV, saving fuel with an economical scooter, hauling what needs to be hauled on a flatbed or enclosed trailer. It's part of life in Nebraska, just like Motorsports Sales and Service of Grand Island. Now that decent crop prices are locked in, see Motorsports Sales and Service for equipment to make farming more efficient and weekends more fun. Head on down to Motorsports Sales and Service in Grand Island for their large assortment of scooters, motorcycles, ATVs, flatbeds, and enclosed trailers. Motorsports Sales and Service, just west of 281 off Highway 30, Grand Island. Extreme weather can cause delays and closings. When it does, click on ESPNSuperstation.com and look for the Fidelki Heating and Air weather threat icon. Click it for a full listing of delays and closings anytime and update it all the time. Even when the weather stops you, nothing can stop a train.
Mostly cloudy conditions continue early on yet today with a chance of an isolated shower early on as well, with high temperatures around 56 as some partial clearing may develop in the afternoon with north winds 10 to 15. Tonight's skies will stay partly cloudy. We'll fall up to about 33 as winds turn light and variable. I'm weather meteorologist Paul Tremblay. Right now, 45.
Duck and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Hey! Glad to have you along with us on this Monday. Phone lines are open at 1-888-455-ESPN. And you can email us to the Dan Popper inbox, DougAndDaddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. And that is exactly how Big Daddy has gotten a hold of us. Hello, guys. Had a chance to get on the internet. And must say, first thing caught my eye was that women's bowling title. You have no idea. I was running down the street screaming my lungs out. I would have to say running would be a little bit stretching the truth there.
Hopefully it wasn't like a streaking, you know, Will Ferrell streaking kind of thing. That wouldn't be good.
Daddy says, way to go, ladies. I was headed to bed, but now must reroute out on the town to celebrate. See you in a couple. Love, Daddy.
He loves his bowling.
Oh, who doesn't? The Nebraska women's bowling team wins their fifth national championship by downing Central Missouri on the Saturday night on national television. So that was pretty cool. If you were into that, Nebraska bowling team crowned the champs at the Super Bowl lanes in Canton, Michigan, defeating Central Missouri State 4-1. With the championship, Nebraska has captured five national titles since the program was elevated to varsity status in the 1998 season. Junior Cassandra Lutold was named the most outstanding player in the 2009 championships. The two teams met in 04 and 05. Nebraska has now beaten Central Missouri State in all three national championships. But I must say, Central Missouri didn't bowl very well. And Nebraska did okay. They were right around the 200 mark every game. There's a 200, 198, 201, 201, 190. So three Huskers earning National 10-Pin Coaches Association All-American honors.
Nice.
So Nebraska, your national champions in women's collegiate bowling.
What's your bowling average there, Doug? That bad, huh?
My average, I was going to come back with, I throw a lot. It's not good. I don't know. See, I bowl for fun. When I bowled in league, I bowled for fun because it kept, you know, if you buy the fingertip ball and you try to hit the right arrow and learn the lane condition and every night it's different, you know what? That's just way too much. I got enough stress. I got enough mental problems the way it is.
Beverages to drink.
I mean, that just make me even more perturbed because, well, I threw it right over there and it should have went in and, you know, get the ball, throw it down the middle, hit the head pin. You might throw 120, you might throw 190.
I'm right about the 115 average, I think. 110
I'm
average.
Better than that. I would kick your ass. I would kick your ass. I would say 150 for me. I'm pretty decent.
Nice. That's pretty good.
I'm pretty decent at picking up the spares.
If I
get strikes, good score. If I have to hit a lot of spares, I'm not going to get 100% of them. So it's usually, I'd have to say 150.
That's very good.
I'd have to say 150.
Very nice.
145, now 140. So congratulations, there we go. Hey, by the way, with the, you know, if you're going to watch bowling, if you're going to watch Major League Baseball, because they have the package, every game is on. If you want to watch NFL Network, if you want to watch the NBA and the NHL as the playoffs are getting close to starting in both of those sports, why not catch it all at the Chicken Coop, downtown Kearney in Grand Island? There's not a bad seat in the house. They have new lunch specials, so why go anywhere else? Home-style lunch specials on a cool day like this, they'll fill you up. Hot beef sandwich, chicken fried steak, or chicken fried chicken. How about their home-style meatloaf? All specials are served with mashed potatoes, gravy, and a dinner roll. Or go off the regular menu and try one of the Coop's great burgers, served with the great sides like baked beans, fries, potato salad, coleslaw, pasta, the bacon burger, the Totally Jack burger, the patty melt, the mushroom burger, and try the newest item at the Chicken Coop. And you may have to ask specially for this. It's Chislic. 8 ounces of choice sirloin tips, fried and then seared with your favorite wing sauce. Comes with your favorite side item, only $6.99. Great food and drink specials every lunch and evening time. Open 7 days a week. The Chicken Coop, downtown Kearney and Grand Island, where the game is always on. 1-888-455-ESPN. That's the phone number. And we are hoping to get some of your reaction on the Masters. And again, by this time of the day, we've watched the Golf Channel. We've watched the Sports Center recap. We've watched First and Ten and Skip Bayless, who, you know, if you got a chance and if you have a real job, you probably didn't get a chance. And by real job, I mean an 8-to-5 or 9-to-5 job. You probably didn't get a chance to watch it. But the way the days broke up here and we're here all morning, it's on in the back. Skip Bayless is calling this one of the greatest final rounds in Masters history, if not the greatest final round in Masters history, and he's insane and should be off the show for a week. Because
I was about to say, Colin Coward was on the very exact opposite end of the spectrum there.
If you're going to babble BS like that, then you have no credibility. How was this? The only reason that this final round of the Masters could be chalked up to have any true better than some or better than most, as Vern Lundquist and the boys would say, is that Phil Mickelson actually made a charge of which we have not seen on a Sunday from Phil or Tiger in a major ever? Can I say ever? Can I say ever? Have they ever come back on Sunday, made a charge, and even though they didn't complete this, which was led to part of the disappointment, how can it just, it adds to the Phil Mickelson head-scratching legacy. Where was the scoring done by the majority of the players in the field throughout the week and on the top of the leaderboard? The back nine. Phil was 10 under on the front nine for the week and one over on the back nine for the week. How? I mean, that's, Phil Mickelson should have ran away with this tournament, even with the bad, you know, if you want to call it bad. I mean, it wasn't an under par round on Thursday. And then he dunks it in the water on 12 just when you had hope. And I love watching Phil and Tiger. I love watching them 1 and 2. I like them both. Either one wins, I'm pretty happy.
But after that front nine that Phil shot, which was amazing, I think he hit every shot in the book that he could hit outside of putting some in the rough, but then he'd come right back out and just hit a great approach shot. But didn't you could just kind of feel it. It's like, oh, Phil's setting himself up to fail on the back nine. He almost was.
Actually, I didn't feel that. I didn't have that feeling until he dunked it in the water on 12, which is when I got in the car and drove home from the Easter celebration. Because Phil did everything on the front nine that the storybook comeback has. He made the putt. He did not yip a 10-foot and under putt. He made the amazing hook around the trees on 7 and almost holed out with what have been a shot for the ages and tapped in a 2-footer after hooking it around the trees from the rough when he was in the middle of this run. He did not make mistakes. He made all the putts. He made a great save on a couple of holes. He did well on 10. Got a great break. He hit it into the trees, and it rolled all the way through those pine needles. And I thought that's where it started, though. He's 150 yards out in the grass, not in the pine needles, and didn't stick it close. And here's another thing. There's so many observations you can make. And if you're a golf fan, you know, I hope you, you know, enjoy the Masters. But on Saturday, everybody was hitting their second shot to the right hand short right. And the pin was short right on Sunday, and nobody could get it there. Can you explain that to me? And I put this on a professional golfer. Tiger was 30 feet. Phil was 45 on number 10. Or, excuse me, 11. 11, not 10, 11. Yeah, 11. Excuse me, I meant hole 11. Where they hit it down the pine needles. It started on 11 when Phil's 150 out, and it's not like the pin was in the back like it is a lot on Sunday. It was in the front, and he did not come close and hit a putt up there safe and made par, and then dunked it in the water, and then missed the eagle on 13 and missed the gimme eagle on 15. But even here's the bottom line. It looked like it wouldn't have mattered anyway. But Phil could have been at 12. The best he could have done was 12, and he could have been in the playoff. And I think that sets it up a whole different deal because I don't think Phil chokes. And I think that's exactly what happened. Kenny Perry, unfortunately, he choked. You just don't hit that bad a shot. On 17, those look like two shots. They look like three shots I would hit.
Oh, yeah.
Into the tree, only it wouldn't spit it out in the fairway. Then, there's a break. Take advantage. Oh, no, let's go ahead and miss the green. Oh, well, you got a chip. Oh, no, let's chip it off the green. I mean, that's what it looked like. That's what it looked like. And then on 18, it was a disappointing finish to what was, to that point, a great Masters. It was a horrible, horrible finish. Nobody won the Masters. To win the Masters, you come down the home stretch and you make the birdie putt or you make the great shot. Angel Cabrera hits the tree, makes a great shot to stay in contention, but he hit a shot that Chad Campbell should have been able to hit. Campbell dunks it in the bunker. Cabrera puts it 8 feet to stay in and force that playoff.
And you know, Kenny Perry, after choking, he was so gracious after being defeated. I think he's the only guy on tour that would be. Anyone else would find the nearest ledge and jump off. Kenny was nice and gracious in defeat. So at least, I mean, to his credit, but geez, he got.
Kenny Perry's a great guy. And I sat here and said he had no way. I said on this show he wouldn't make the cut. So I will fess up to that. Although a lot of the other things that we predicted on the show did come to fruition here. But he didn't win, and that's the bottom line. And there is no reason he didn't win. A two-shot lead with two to play. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Kenny Perry choked away the Masters. And Angel Cabrera, even though you can kind of like him, I mean, you can like this guy because he is the, you know, smoking the heaters and he winning the U.S. Open and hitting the bombs. He's a little short of John Daly. If this guy was not, and I'll say this, he's not an American. He's not an American. And I will also say this. What's going on at the Masters? And don't call it parody. My last three winners have been Zach Johnson, Trevor Immelman, and Angel Cabrera, who have a total victory count in the majors of 4. 3 of those are the Masters. Over the last 3 years, where have all the great golfers gone? Jim Furyk, Tiger, evidently he's trying to birdie every hole out there. And maybe that's the problem with him and Phil. Tiger, no. Phil, no. Furyk, no. Els, really? How is he even on the tour anymore?
Yeah, he hasn't done anything in the last couple of years. VJ's fallen off as well.
VJ's just a scratcher right now.
Yeah.
If everybody else kind of falls to the side, VJ's going to be there. He had a respectable tournament, but he was not in contention ever. He never challenged. Jeff Ogilvie, as we said, he played well, but was never in contention. He was not in contention. Sean O'Hare, people, look out for him. If he doesn't just trip over himself on Friday, he is there at 11 under par. He shot a 4 over 76 Friday and finished at 7 under par. So up next, we've got the players, then we go over. Then we get the U.S. Open, British Open, and, you know, we will see what happens from there. But overall, it was close enough and enough people in there to keep you excited. But let's face it, no one overtook the three guys in Cabrera, Campbell, and Perry on Sunday. No one else overtook them.
And you're right, no one really stepped forward and won it. It was more of Kenny Perry kind of giving it to Angel. That was.
And may I also say this? There are certain things that should be sacred is too heavy here because we're going to be talking about Easter. The Masters needs to find a way, and the PGA Tour needs to work to find a way that the Masters is never on Easter weekend. You know what? Easter should stand alone from the Masters. Let us have Masters weekend to enjoy. Let us have the weekend devoted to the Masters. Let's not, I mean, you know, it's not like you have to guess. Okay, besides, how many, the John Deere Classic goes up against the British Open. Let's have something else played over Easter weekend. I know Easter fluctuates, so it doesn't happen all the time. But more often than not, we're starting to see that Easter and the Masters fall on the same weekend. U.S. Open and Father's Day, same weekend. Let's try and not, this is a little off the beaten path, and maybe a lot of people don't agree, But there's no reason to have the Masters on Easter weekend, and having it on Easter weekend does not boost ratings. It doesn't boost anything. It doesn't boost morale. I mean, these guys would like to be home with their families on Easter weekend. I'm pretty much assuming that, especially the top guys in the world. Let's not have that. Let's be able to enjoy the Masters, and my family good enough that it doesn't matter. I can watch the Masters and still enjoy Easter. That's not where I'm coming from, but let's have the Masters not on Easter. So just a thought. 1-888-455-ESPN. You can email us anytime to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. We're back with more right after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
This is the ESPN Superstation's Doug and Daddy Show.
Live and unrehearsed. Unrehearsed.
You son of my own!
Unrehearsed.
Unfortunately. People are talking about the Doug and Daddy blog at ESPNSuperstation.com. It's all good.
I'm surprised to hear that because that is new information.
You bet. The Doug and Daddy blog is all about insightful commentary and learned opinions from our dynamic duo.
Yep, can't they talk about
certain controversial issues, pretty much anything they want to talk about.
And of course, you got to talk back.
That story was completely inappropriate.
The Doug and Daddy blog on ESPNSuperstation.com. Let them know what you think.
This weather update is brought to you by Rich Peters and Matt Myers from Farm Bureau Insurance, located on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
You have more power than you may realize when it comes to managing your health care costs. With a health savings account partnered with the right health plan, you gain control over your medical dollars. Ask today about the new HSA eligible plans, available from two names you trust, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, and your Farm Bureau agent. With Farm Bureau and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, you get the best of both. Matt Myers and Rich Peters are independent and authorized insurance producers of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. For your health insurance needs in the Kearney area, call Farm Bureau agents Matt Myers and Rich Peters at 234-4922. That's 234-4922. 22. Make the call today and get the best of both with Farm Bureau and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska.
We'll see cloudy conditions continue early on yet today with a chance of an isolated shower early on as well with high temperatures around 56 as some partial clearing may develop in the afternoon with north winds 10 to 15. Tonight skies will stay partly cloudy. We'll fall up to about 33 as winds turn light and variable. I'm weather meteorologist Paul Tremblay. Right now, 45.
Doug and Daddy Show. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. It's time for baseball and softball, folks. Whether you're playing T-ball or you're playing men's fast pitch, anything in between for the ladies, the kids, the big boys, the high school kids, the Legion team, it's all there at Misco Sports on the breaks of the downtown Kearney Center, where right now they've got a great selection of baseball and softball shoes in stock, and all ball gloves now 10% off. 10% right off the top of the ball gloves. They've got bat bags, travel team and Legion bats, catcher's equipment, baseball, softball, batting helmets, hitting nets, training supplies, uniforms and hats, and of course, folks, don't wait to the last minute to get your uniforms. Get them ordered. Get it taken care of. That way, you're not running around at the last minute because Misco's does it better than anybody else. Misco Sports on the bricks of the downtown Kearney Center. See them before the games begin. Of course, we have this story to pass along to you from a great day yesterday at Kauffman Stadium. John Buck, our favorite Royal, along with, of course, Alex Gordon, homered and drove in three runs, helping the Royals rally past the Yankees 6-4 yesterday in Kansas City.
It's peanut butter jelly time, peanut butter jelly
time. Oh, yeah.
Way at.
Yankees clean to a 4-3 lead.
There you go. Peanut butter jelly.
They took Job out. Shouldn't have took Job out.
Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly with a baseball bat. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly with a baseball bat.
That's right, folks. Brian Pena scored pinch runner Tony Pena Jr. with a tying run. And then, of course, John Buck comes around. Kiaspo gets a blooper. Buck knocks one in. A single, a double, and a home run for our favorite Royal, John Buck. 3-4. And the Royals get the win. The Royals, in this strange stat of the week, Kansas City scored, we should get a sponsor for that, the strange stat of the week. The Royals scoring three runs in the eighth yesterday. That was more runs than they had scored in a game all year long. Two, one, one, and then six yesterday. Three in one inning.
And they're still 500.
That's right.
Pitching.
Cleveland comes in today to start a three-game series. Pregame at 6:35. First pitch tonight at 7:10. Along the Royals Radio Network on ESPN Radio. Hastings College head men's basketball coach Lance Creech has announced his first wave of 2009 recruits, all with Nebraska ties. 6'8 post player out of Lincoln Southwest, Jake Marvin. North Platte's Dane States out of North Platte High School, 6'5. And then Dane Bacon from Kearney High School is going to go to Hastings College as well. So Lance Creech with some folks right there. Speaking of basketball, Jeff Hofelt named the new head coach at Grand Island Senior High. I know Jeff because he was the head coach at Ord. He came from Petersburg, where he went to state in D2. He went to Ord, took them to state, left Ord, and has been at Grand Island Senior High since 2002. Great coach. Jeff is a great coach. He has worked his way up from the junior varsity, the freshman, the JVs. Now he'll be the head coach. And he will join us on this program tomorrow here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Here is what I guess strikes me, and it strikes me every time. Dave Omen let go at the end of this season. But yet they hire from within to take over. I would be interested to know, is that because Jeff was... they wanted to stay in-house. They didn't get enough of what they were looking for outside of the application process, outside of the third city, or what it exactly came down to. I think Jeff's going to do a great job, but I was shocked by the hire because I was just assuming that Grand Island, with the dismissal of Dave Omen, you can say what you want, it was a dismissal of Dave Omen, that they would be going outside and bringing in a new staff because they didn't like what was going on. They didn't like whatever was going on, whether it was the way the team was coached, whether it was the wins and losses, whether it was something else that always comes with coaching. I just really was surprised that there wasn't somebody from another head coaching job in the state of Nebraska. And I'll tell you this right now. I still think that if, and I'll throw the name out there, Kevin Asher had taken the St. Cecilia job 2 years ago instead of a year ago, I think he's your new head coach at Grand Island. And that's just speculation on my part. I think this is a guy that didn't want to jump around, bang, 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 and then have that hanging over him that, well, he doesn't want to stay anywhere. I think he likes what he has at St. Cecilia. I think that was one of the names up there. I think the head coach at Chadron, Craig Knobling, was up there. I think he likes what he has going, and that would be a big move. And evidently no one wanted to come from the east to come west. There's always some names out there. How about Matt Fritchie at Bellevue West? I know he was interested in the Kearney job. He's the girls' coach at Bellevue West, but that doesn't mean he couldn't coach the boys. They won Class A this year, beating what was supposed to be one of the greatest programs and squads of all time in Lincoln Southeast in the state championship finals. So there you go. We'll talk with Jeff tomorrow, and I'm sure that this program will be pointed in the right direction. I will say this. I think that is going to make it a much tougher district because I think Grand Island is going to get better. I don't think it was a bad hire. I was just surprised by the hire. Now, let me get that straight and clear and write out the best here. I don't think it was a bad hire. I just was surprised that when you get rid of your coach, that you stay in-house to hire the next coach. So we'll talk with Jeff and see what his plans are for Grand Island Senior High here in the near future. And, again, he will join us on the Doug and Daddy Show tomorrow. A couple of other notes. What was that handshake truly like between Phil Mickelson and Steve Williams at the end? Now, the handshake, they kept showing it, Tiger looking him right in the eye. Let's go. I think they're okay. I don't think there's any problem. But at the end, you know, you shake hands with everybody. And they probably did beforehand, too. But, you know, after what happened in the offseason with the what was the bad word that he used? Yeah, called him, I don't know, something that – he didn't call him Hick, did he? No. Oh, yeah, that's right. It was something else. But to have that handshake as they walk off the 18th, both not finishing the Masters very well. And how about, I did go back and forth a little bit to watch the Division I hockey final. And, of course, once it got into overtime, you're just going, what happened? Miami of Ohio, the Cinderella's team, the number four seed out of their region, all the way through, all the way to the finals. They're up 3-1 with 90 seconds to go. 3-1. And thus, Boston, a tradition in hockey at the collegiate level, pulls the goalie, sticks one in. Okay, so it's 3-2. But then they score in the last 20 seconds to tie it at 3. Two goals in a minute to tie it at 3. And then they win the national championship on a deflected shot off a shoulder, over the shoulder of the goalie. No one even saw it. The goalie never even saw it. He was watching it, and then it deflected, and he couldn't find it. And the next thing you know, you got to be able to hear that, don't you?
Yeah, but at the same time, with a lot of traffic in front of the net, and that guy, it was one of his teammates, you know, one of the Miami players that tried to slide in front and block it, just deflected off his shoulder. And once it goes up, you know, if a goalie loses track of that puck as it's going up toward, you know, you can lose it in the ceiling as it's coming towards you, and he just didn't know where it was. Bam, right in the net. What an unlucky deal for Miami.
El Fluco Grande.
No kidding.
El Fluco Grande. Top break there. Hey, let's go to the Dent Popper inbox. Can you imagine how hot a packed Memorial Stadium will be on the 4th of July? I like Larry the Cable Guy, but no thanks.
Yeah, that place is going to be rowdy.
Especially as they emphasize no alcohol will be allowed in or served. I don't think that'll be a problem.
No, everyone will get their fill before they show up.
I think so.
Yeah.
And probably rightly so. Larry will be funnier than ever. And as we are reminded by a Sports Center, what now is going to happen to Josh Freeman? A lot of people thought he was going to go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Kansas State quarterback, leaving the Wildcats early. Mel Kiper, Todd McShay, I think both had him going to Tampa Bay with the 19th pick. Now Tampa Bay goes up and gets Byron Leftwich, who had been the backup to Ben Roethlisberger, which was a great thing for Pittsburgh. But they signed James Harrison this morning. Leftwich leaves yesterday to sign with the Buccaneers. That is a big signing, and does he move right into the starting role?
You'd imagine so. I mean, why else would you go out and pick him up if you're the Bucs? And he got him decently cheap, 2 years, $7.5 million. And he's been a good quarterback. He's become less and less mobile through his career, but I don't think that's going to be a big problem down there in Tampa Bay. And now it opens up what's going to happen with Freeman now coming out early from K-State. And there's a couple of quarterbacks mixed in there now towards the top of that draft board where it could get – it could get really weird here coming up on draft day, and it'll be interesting to see what Todd McShay and Mel Kiper do with their drafts now, their mock drafts.
Zach Thomas signing with the Chiefs. Look out, that West Division, Kansas City. I think they could be there. It's time for Kansas City and Oakland to make a move. San Diego should run away with that division. Denver, how do they even have a chance with everything that's being blown up there? Now, maybe in 2 years they've got a chance, but right now, again, if Oakland or Kansas City is going to make a move, they need to do it this year. So we're going to see what happens with the Chiefs.
And that Zach Thomas pickup actually throws another wrench into the draft board, too, because they were thinking about picking up maybe Aaron Curry out of, I believe his name's Aaron Curry, out of Wake Forest, the linebacker, with one of those top picks the Chiefs were. But
I think
now
you still do that.
You still do that?
I think you still do
just
that.
Add some depth with Thomas there?
It's a one-year contract with Thomas, and you just don't know how good or where he is at right now in his career. A couple of other notes here from the weekend. Nebraska baseball. Wow. And Mike Anderson is scheduled to join us this week here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll be talking with him, I believe, Wednesday, possibly Thursday. But Wednesday, hopefully they can beat Iowa tomorrow night and at least point things in the right direction. But Nebraska was not in any of the three games against Texas this weekend. They tried to rally in both games on Saturday. But when you get beat in game one and then you fall behind 10-0 in game two in, four innings? It was just a disaster.
Is Mike on the hot seat yet, either?
No, he's not. 9-2, I don't buy into any of that. No, he's not. 9-2, Texas thumps him on Saturday, and now they play Iowa tomorrow night. UNK, here's something you don't see every day. Two outs, down 10-4 in the ninth, and you win. UNK, that's how they did it Saturday. 8 runs with 2 outs in the top of the ninth to rally past Metro State on the road 12-10. That gives them a split in that RMAC series. UNK now, because of some movement in the schedule and the way the weather was and switching series and adding games, Lopers now end the season with a 14-game homestand starting Wednesday night against Hastings College. That gets underway at 6 o'clock on Wednesday. Hastings, doubleheader Friday, split. Doubleheader Saturday with Sioux Falls, split. A pair of one-run games, UNK softball. Not good. They dropped all four at Colorado Mines, and they will have the week off before hosting Metro State at Dryden Park this weekend. The bright news that nobody looks at is that the Nebraska softball team took two from Texas, ranked in the top 20 in the nation, and they won both of those games. And we had John Cook, the Nebraska volleyball coach, on Friday. They lost out at Scotts Bluff to Wichita State. Nebraska won the first two sets, 25-20. They lost the next two sets, also 25-20 in both, and then 15-11 in the fifth out there in Jordan Wilberger's hometown of Scotts Bluff. So Nebraska wraps up the spring portion of their schedule this weekend. They travel to Riverside, California for the Collegiate Beach Championships. Tough gig there.
Yeah, it must be.
For the Husker volleyball team. Let's take a break. We're back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
Something wrong, sir? I will not tolerate this flagrant mockery of my intelligence.
Neener, neener, neener. Doug and Daddy will be right back to further insult your intelligence.
Take a closer look and you'll find ACE is different than other natural gas suppliers. ACE, the Public Alliance for Community Energy, is the only not-for-profit natural gas supplier owned by Nebraska communities. We're not a huge company with shareholders. We're ACE. And while you're with ACE, your hard-earned money stays right here in Nebraska, enhancing our communities, parks, and playgrounds. For more information, visit aceenergy.org. Choose ACE. We're in it for you.
All the excitement of Kansas City Royals baseball is on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Alex drives one to deep center and back goes Wise. Still going back and gone. Alex Gordon gets it over the wall and dead center. It's 400 feet to straightaway center. And Alex getting a pitch in the middle of the plate and drove it hard.
Royals baseball all season long, brought to you in part by Skeeter Barnes on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Up next, a fresh forecast from the guys at WeatherEye, brought to you by Molly's Motorworks on East 25th and Kearney, where you always get a square deal and a fair shake.
If you were out for a Sunday drive with the family 20 years ago in Kearney, there'd be a lot of places that you wouldn't even recognize. Well, excepting for that one place over on East 25th, Molly's Motorworks. Molly's been right there doing what she does best since 1987. A lot has changed since then, so it's a good thing to know that when you're in the market for a quality used car or truck, you can still get a square deal and a fair shake from Molly. Good to know.
We'll see cloudy conditions continue early on yet today with a chance of an isolated shower early on as well with high temperatures around 56 and some partial clearing may develop in the afternoon with north winds 10 to 15. Tonight, skies will stay partly cloudy. We'll fall up to about 33 as winds turn light and variable. I'm weather meteorologist Paul Tremblay. Right now, 45.
Doug and Daddy Show and Dynagrow. Doug, Daddy, and Dynagrow. Only one of those is growing in your field, though, and it's the right one. Dynagrow, time to plant your corn in the Cornhusker State, and Dynagrow is there to win this year just like the Big Red. 57V07, 58V72, and 57V38 will all win on your farm's team in 2009. Folks, you can't do any better than that. We'll win, they'll win, they'll win. You want to win, you want to make profit, you want to have the best. How about Dynagrow, growing in more fields than ever before? All VT triple hybrids with built-in defense, just like the 09 Huskers. Dynagrow, growing again in 2009. Plant it on your farm and see why you'll grow with Dynagrow. For more information, contact Dinah Dave or Lauren D-Man Kaiser. Really? 800-652-9298. Lauren or Dinah Dave at 800-652-9298. Dynagrow. Why is it the fastest growing, folks? Because it's a winner. You want to be a winner? You can help yourself out by planting Dynagrow. 800-652-9298. Check out their VT triple hybrids like 57V07, 58V72, and 57V38. Dynagrow, growing in your field. Is he ever coming back?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I think on that email earlier you said maybe see you in a couple days, so I don't know what that means.
Yeah, time for me to take vacation. Hey, the University of Nebraska volleyball team is conducting their Volley Kids Day Camp June 15th and 16th, so mark that on your calendar. Camp sessions for girls entering grades 2nd through 5th grade. It'll run from 1 to 3:30 each afternoon. It's held June 15th and 16th at Sunrise Middle School. For more information, you can go to lopers.com, and the kids will be well taken care of. So if you want to get your kids into a young girls volleyball camp, June 15th, 16th, Volley Kids Day Camp, contact UNK. Coach Squires has all the information, or go to lopers.com. And some good news already coming out of the Kirk Brooks Tri-City Storm. And I see that they've already taken care of the logo.
Oh, yeah.
Thank God. Nebraska is gone.
Yes.
And then they're replacing it with 10th anniversary. The Storm announcing a reduction of all season ticket prices for the 10th anniversary season. New owner Kirk Brooks says, "We want this to be both a celebration of the 10th anniversary as well as a thank you for all the loyal fans." Here's the bottom line. The Storm is dropping prices across the board and offering special incentives for early bird purchases. The standard season tickets for next year will drop in price for adults by 20% if you renew them by June 1st. Children's standard tickets will drop 33% if renewed or purchased by June 1st. So already the new ownership for Kirk Brooks taking over and getting some things done.
It's refreshing, isn't it?
We are pleased that. Let me ask you this. I think this is going to be the question of the week on the Doug and Daddy page. ESPNSuperstation.com coming up this afternoon, our new Sun Heat Hot Topic poll question. Who had the biggest choke, Kenny Perry or the Miami hockey team?
It's close.
It's very close. I'm not sure yet. I'll let you know later. I'll let you know. Hey, we want to thank Daryl Morris, head football coach at UNK, for joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Don't forget, we're giving away spring game tickets to the Nebraska game this Saturday. Also want to let you know that the new Grand Island Senior High boys basketball coach, Jeff Hofelt, among our guests tomorrow. And congratulations to the Chicago Cubs. Nice win yesterday. Reed Johnson robbing Prince Fielder of the Grand Slam home run. Maybe we'll pull out some Go Cubs Go in the future. But until then, for the Doug and Daddy Show, Doug Dude saying have a great day, everyone.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.